advice from the experts has become a staple in the back sections of newspapers, on bookstore shelves, and on cable TV. Much of it is directed toward women, but for decades, the wisdom doled out was actually biased against women's interests, or that's the thesis of a book just re-released, For Her Own Good, Two Centuries of the Experts' Advice to Women. Barbara Ehrenreich and Deirdre English first published the book in 1978, and Ms. Ehrenreich joins me now. Welcome.
Good to be with you.
So a lot has changed since 1978. One might almost say revolutionary changes in women and their expectations in society. Why republish this now?
Because a lot of it remains so relevant. And we wrote a new introduction to it and a new afterword talking about the changes. But the central idea that women are often confronted with advice that is described or disguised as scientific information, which is not necessarily in our interests as women, you know, that continues. So we just wanted to say, ladies, don't let down your vigilance.
Well, let's go over a bit of what's changed. I mean, you mentioned, for example, the percentage of doctors who were female when this book came out.
Oh, yeah. What was it? It was about 4 or 5% in the 70s. Now it's 25% of practicing physicians, and it's going to get a lot higher because I think it was in 2003, the latest figures I've read, 47% of medical school graduates were women.
You also talk about female watchdog groups being set up and more studies being done that include women.
Yes. Well, that's been an issue for a while. I mean, it just women began to notice, I think it was in the 1980s, that most medical studies are done, you know, on male subjects and, when you know, just sort of cavalierly extended to women, too. So there's been a lot of pressure around that. And but still, you know, the scandals keep rolling on.
Like
some of the hormone replacement therapy scandal. Millions of American women were told that they had to take estrogen and other hormones in order to cure the quote, disease of menopause, which was really, you know, presented as being something very hard to survive. And this led to the wholesale prescribing of things like Premarin. It was supposed to help prevent Alzheimer's. It was supposed to prevent heart disease. It was supposed to be kind of neutral on breast cancer. And, of course, it was supposed to make you more beautiful and younger. Well, it turns out that it actually contributes to dementia in old age. It increases the possibility of cardiovascular disease and increases the risk of breast cancer. I don't know how beautiful it makes people. I didn't notice myself.
In the book, you go way back in history and you describe how there was a very concerted effort to keep women out of the medical profession. But today, you know, when studies come out and contradict earlier studies, I mean, can one say that honest mistakes will be made and one shouldn't read bias against women into everything?
Oh, yeah. I mean, science has to change. We get new data. And, of course, you know, Premarin was discouraged. The use of it was discouraged. But the fact that doctors really clung to it, I think, we suggest, in part because they were so committed to this idea of keeping women youthful through the perpetual use of hormones.
What do you make of the advice industry that's directed at women out there today? And I just note, I've got the New York Times Review of Books here in front of me. There's now a whole separate column for the bestsellers on advice, how-to, and miscellaneous.
So it's a huge industry. Dr. Phil on TV, who is, you know, perhaps our biggest advice meister in the world right now, you know, likes to talk about women being the gatherers, the nurturers, and men being the hunters. And that's just our nature, right? And this is, when this is presented as something scientific, I think it has a lot more force than if it's presented, of course, as an opinion or as a religious doctrine, because, you know, religious doctrines are only going to be convincing to the people who share that religion.
Your afterword to the book is called The End of the Romance, and you write that women are not so taken with the quote-unquote experts anymore. So is there a greater skepticism out there despite this continuing industry of advice?
Yeah, I think there is, and that's what we try to push in this book, is be more skeptical, you know, question the data you're being given when you're told
Well, how would you check out a report for bias? I mean, what's the layperson supposed to do if something's in their morning paper?
it's not easy, but with the internet, I think it has gotten somewhat easier.
When you wrote this book in the 1970s, at the time there was a very vibrant women's health movement. There was a rash of books, Our Bodies, Ourselves, and others. What happened to that movement?
Well, you know, in some ways we were just too successful. When we started in the 70s, and a little group in Boston put out a book, which was a pretty tacky-looking pamphlet called Our Bodies, Ourselves, you couldn't get that information elsewhere. If you look back into the 60s and the 50s, for example, at the Ladies' Home Journal, they had a column with a patronizing title, Tell Me Doctor, you know, where a doctor would answer some woman's questions, but always in the most paternalistic way and not giving any real information. Well, now this information is very widespread. You don't have to go to a feminist bookstore and get some strange pamphlet to find out how your body works.
Go ahead.
And I also wanted to say we have institutions like the National Women's Health Network that, based in Washington, D.C., that continually monitor bias against women in medicine, false statements, etc. So we did leave a legacy of watchdog groups like that.
Barbara Ehrenreich is the co-author of For Her Own Good, Two Centuries of Advice to Women. Thank you very much.
Pleasure talking to you, Jennifer.